whether you're an independent broadcaster.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Paradigm Shifters, those people who are making a difference with the collective at this time of the shift around our planet. Tonight's Paradigm Shifter is a wonderful being called Ginger Mitro, who brings through a fascinating coalescence of consciousness called Galexis. And Ginger's going to meet with us, and then she's going to channel Galexis, and I'm very excited. Welcome to the show, Ginger.
Thank you.
It's wonderful of you to show up here for us. We've got lots to share.
Great.
And tell me about yourself. How did you... Now, you've been channeling for a long time. How did you get into channeling back in the 80s?
Well, originally I would go to other channels for information, and the one that I was going to the most often started getting very busy. So I was left to my own devices. So
you must
have
been driven on the spiritual path already, huh?
Oh, yes. I'd been on the spiritual path since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, maybe it's about time for me to get a little bit more direct access and get the information for myself.
So did you just, like, boom, start to channel?
Well,
like that?
I started practicing a kind of very slow form of kinesiology where I'd kind of lie down and my husband would ask me questions and I'd try to visualize my spirit guides nodding their head yes or no. And finally... I started to see pictures and get messages, and more complex information started coming in. So I began to realize that it was time to pick it up and to learn a little bit more. So I actually attended a class on channeling taught by Alexander Murray, who's a very well-known trance channel in New York.
Uh-huh.
And he went into trance, and his spirit guide taught the class. And I got the experience there of channeling directly.
Wonderful.
Which is the big switch. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, the spirit guide is showing me this and this and this, and I think this is what this means, to channeling the spirit guide directly.
Hmm. Was
but
it a difficult
that, it
process to
up.
Break? Pardon me?
And after that, it just picked up.
Hmm. Is it a difficult process to break, to break into?
Oh, yeah, I would say so. It's it's almost scary because it's a whole different frame of reference.
Did it hurt physically?
Oh, no, but I did notice that when I went in and out of trance, I could be tired. It was like a lot of energy moving through. And so after I practiced it, I could maybe channel 3 or 4 individual beings in a night. You know, but going in and out of trance each time, by the time the evening was over, I'd be really tired.
So you mean different guides and different...
Different beings, yeah.
And
so finally they got together and helped me out and decided to form a group and pass the microphone between them.
They formed a union.
Yes, and that union is Galexis.
Oh, that's wonderful. Great. So Galexis has been working through you since?
July of 88.
Wonderful. Have you enjoyed most of it?
Oh, it's been fantastic. After a while, you know, the information got to be so universal, we decided to share it with other people.
Great. And you have a book, don't you?
Well, I'm working on it.
Mm.
I mean, I have some books, but they're actually from my previous career as an astrologer.
Ah. Well, I copied from the website. I copied a whole bunch of stuff from your website, but... You have quite a number of CDs available for people of Galexis in workshops.
That's correct.
Yeah. And what's the most current one, Healing the Core?
Yeah, that's the most recent one that we've released. And in that, Galexis shares with people how to connect with their intuition and bring in information themselves and how to face that the scariest part of themselves, their greatest resistances, and overcome that.
And have you found that you grew tremendously through Galexis's tutelage since 88?
Oh, absolutely.
So you have your teacher at home.
Right. Well, you know, I don't go completely out. I do listen in like as if I'm, the way I liken it is that I'm sitting on a beach and there's a conversation, pleasant conversation going on next door to me, and I'm just listening to people next to me, and I'm just kind of drifting. That's kind of what it's like. And so Galexis and I have this arrangement because I don't really want to hear other people's stuff, you know, really. And so Galexis will only have me remember that which is useful for me to know specifically for me or for my relationship or something like that.
Wonderful. And it does change your energy, doesn't it, to be channeling?
Oh, yeah, and it even changes my metabolism and my physical body shifts. I feel like I have a faster metabolism. I'm very warm when I channel, and I'm normally low thyroid, kind of cold kind of, you know, temperature.
And do you feel good when you come out of it?
Oh, now I do, yeah, because they give me healing every time.
Wonderful. Well, let's talk with Galexis, and we were going to talk about spirituality and money and the difficulties with creating abundance when you've got spiritual consciousness sometimes. And Galexis was going to give us some new concepts about how to handle that, right?
So why don't I just go on into trance then, and we can just
wonderful.
Let Galexis to speak. So thank you, and goodbye for now.
Have fun, Ginger. Thank you for being here.
All right, we are here.
Welcome. Thank you for coming tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome for inviting.
Now, you have a wonderful point of view, I assume, here. We were wondering if we could talk tonight about some certain subjects. Now, one of them is about the spiritual, you know, there's a collective shift going on. I'm sure you could tell us more about that than we know. And we're wondering about creating our reality and creating abundance when a lot of us on the spiritual path have kind of tripped over that subject. There's a lot hidden in
yes.
the unconscious about that.
Absolutely. Part of the spiritual draining that's been going on for centuries has been that those people who wish to be spiritual must divest themselves of the material wealth or material plane, you know, like the Buddha was a prince and had everything, and then he had to leave it all,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. Or Saint Francis was a wealthy man, and when he took to the spirit, he had to leave his wealth behind, you know.
Even Ram Dass did that.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah, and go to monasteries and nunneries, you know, and things like that for centuries. It's been the tradition. So, of course, being that it's so much embedded in the collective consciousness that when people decide to be spiritual, that very often even their financial lives will suffer,
mm-hmm.
just because of that kind of collective belief system just kicking in automatically. And so a lot of times then the spiritual person having seen this dilemma wants to create abundance because, hey, it's part of the creation of the new reality. Why should we be, you know, living in poverty when, you know, when we would like to have money and influence and impact on the world as well, and also live well and
be a little less stressed for starters.
Oh well, it's very stressful being poor, or
yeah.
stressful struggling in the middle class and always struggling. On so many spiritual people feeling forced to hold jobs that do not give them a sense of personal satisfaction and fulfillment or seem to be in alliance with their spiritual path. So there's a lot of entrepreneurism that's going on amongst spiritual people, and in the attempt to create, you know, new templates of wealth and abundance and success. And some of these are becoming rather interesting and successful and so on. But there are certain common denominators that these people who do get successful and being spiritual do seem to have this capacity to work through. There are certain clues, you might say, that these particular people have, that people who seem to still struggle on the spiritual path financially don't seem to get. And that's why it'd be really nice, we thought, to share that.
I think that would be just wonderful. I know a lot of people on a spiritual journey who are frustrated with that.
Yes, absolutely.
And it seems to be just really deeply running in the psyche, doesn't it? That
it is. It's extremely, it's in the unconscious mind. That's
mm-hmm.
why it seems to be very hard for most people to recognize when it's there, hard to address it, hard to shift it out of their reality. But you see, coming along with that is a whole collective perspective on business and money. And there's a lot of judgments on money.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of judgments about the way people do business. You know, when people are poor, very often they're having financial struggles, and they read about, you know, rich guys and gals who are spending their money in really weird ways. They will often judge that and say, my gosh, if I had that kind of money, I would put it to much greater use for the benefit of people and with more love and for the planet and all.
Yeah.
You see, like I should know better. You know, and there is a certain condescension. There's a certain, you know, looking down upon them because they're not as spiritual, that the way they spend money is not as okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or to look at people who are the ultimate money-making machine in your culture are these people who are what you call workaholics. You know, people who are dedicated to making huge amounts of money. They're also suspected of being a bit on the, what you might say, the sleazy side. You know,
mm-hmm.
not being really honest, grabbing what they can get, you know, manipulating, undermining, scamming, things like that. And so there's a lot of judgments about how business is functioning. And so that's something that the people who actually on their spiritual path are able to make more money and to create more abundance generally have in common is that they have released these judgments that they hold about how other people spend their money,
mm-hmm.
how rich people spend their money, how other people make money or make large amounts of it. The judgments are let go of. They just free themselves from that. And this is hard for a lot of people to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's one thing. The second thing that people who make a lot of money while they're on their spiritual path seem to have in common is that their self-image is such that they are willing to receive. They're willing to experience a certain sense of magic and adventure, and their self-image is such that they are okay with being able to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone is comfortable with wealth, you understand. A lot of people are very uncomfortable when it comes to money because money has a lot of heavy meanings to them.
Mm-hmm.
Money can mean freedom to them. Money can mean, or if they have a lot of extra money or a lot of money is coming in, they may see that as being more of a demand for them to perform at a higher level of perfection.
Yeah, people put them on a pedestal, don't they?
Right. And nobody really likes being put on a pedestal. You know, if you ask somebody, if they don't think about it, they'll probably think, oh, that's kind of cool, people looking up to me. But, you know, when you're on a pedestal, there's a lot of expectation of you. So your image has to be strong enough to handle a sense of, I can be visible out there. I can be seen. People can see me with money, and I'm okay. I'm safe.
Mm-hmm.
And these people who are really successful are able to be comfortable there. They are actually able to feel safe being visible.
Mm-hmm. And some are very reclusive, aren't they?
Even really, some of them are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of spiritual people can spend a tremendous amount of time meditating to bring in money, but they don't have the connection with the physical plane.
Mm-hmm.
They're still somewhere inside themselves, feel that all the physical plane experience of being in a physical body, that's somehow lower or lesser.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that's another piece that people who actually are very successful as they're financially on their spiritual path seem to be able to handle is that it's okay being in a physical body.
Right. That rapport.
There's nothing wrong with being physical. There's nothing wrong with having feelings and desires and things like that.
How can we remedy that reluctance to connect to the third dimension?
Well, Well, because there's a tremendous amount of shame that is given us, given everyone, given every person who has ever incarnated. And most of the most of us in the group that we are have had incarnations, most of us. So we know that there's a tremendous amount of shame given to people who are not beautiful, who are not handsome and strong, who are not perfect, who are not seemingly valuable. And so a lot of people have a tremendous fear of being seen, of having their weak side or their dark side seen by others. So they'll hide themselves. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to get out there into the world. And so it's really easy when some guru comes along and says, you know, the physical plane is this low area, and you need to ascend, and you need to grow beyond it, and you need to go to the higher dimensions, and that, you know, offers them a path whereby maybe they do astral travel, or maybe or they're building this incredible future reality where everything is safe and loving and wonderful and doesn't have all these intensity factors and all the fears and pains of potentials of the physical plane. So that it's really easy to get into that fantasy loop and getting out of body and just kind of drifting into those wonderfully elusive kind of, but beautiful, serene spaces where there's no turbulence, where you don't have to work out heavy emotional issues with other people or have to suffer pain or experience disappointment.
So to resolve that, do we teach people to feel disappointment?
Yes. You know, to resolve that, it's important to recognize that where you are right now, in this very moment, is just a wondrously fantastic place to be. This is the best place to be. It's much better than to float around in the future. You can't do anything about your life if you're in the future, you know, hopeful and optimistic or scared and dreading it or whatever response you're having about your imaginations about the future. Or it's much better to be in the present than wandering around in the past with its remorses and regrets and its loneliness.
Right, so it's back into the now, hey?
If you get into the now, whatever you experience is fresh, it's empowering, it brings you in connection with yourself. Now, if you are devaluing yourself, then you don't want to be here in the now. And a lot of people who are very driven by goals, and this is another issue that snags some people up in the financial department, is that they set these goals for themselves. And any time that they're not doing that goal or working towards that goal and being productive, they feel guilty. And so when they feel guilty, they are basically saying, right now, you know, I'm just sitting here at the computer doing solitaire, right? And bad me, judge, I should really be more productive and making some money and getting some things done.
So their judgment is just really...
That judgment.
Right?
And what that does is that devalues the present moment. The present moment is the moment of your greatest power. And the people who really are successful financially on their spiritual path are getting really into the understanding of that power of being present, the power of now, as Eckhart Tolle, you know, presents so beautifully. But that power of being present. But you see, if you devalue that present moment and say it's not good enough because I haven't achieved this goal or I'm not blissfully happy like I think I should be, then there's a judgment that in the present moment, that devalued moment, that lesser moment where you're lesser, it's devaluing yourself. And one of the key critical pieces of being able to be financially successful is that you have to value yourself. In fact, we recommend that people put a circle of value or energy field of value around themselves, or they bring in value from God, Goddess, all that is, or their spirit guides just infuse them with value. until they bring it into their heart and they feel good and valuable, you say, mm-hmm. and then radiating it out.
Hmm.
Because if you radiate out your value, other people will touch it, other people will feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only be present when you do this. You cannot radiate your value and be floating around in the past or the future mentally.
So I know that you say that for us to step out of abundance, and I know this is a big factor in it, but I heard that you say it says that our approach must be very different. Is this part of it, or is there much
yes,
more to
that?
Yes, this
is part of the different approach.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the rules are different when you're doing it from a spiritual orientation,
mm-hmm.
because you recognize that the usual collective or consensus way of doing business, it does have a lot of complexity and parameters and so on in there, but it's not oriented towards spiritual ideals. It's oriented towards marketing and making money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does have that focus. And while that focus is good, it does have a certain limitation. A person who is on a spiritual path needs to market and make money too, but it has to be in alignment with their personal mission, with their spiritual goals, with their spiritual orientation, you see. And when that happens, the consensus reality, which supports the continuation of the institution of business and making money,
is the way it has been. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like there's an energy in the consensus that flows, and there's a flow that goes through the way that most people make money.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are in the consensus who do not necessarily have to align everything according to their spiritual precepts can just get into that flow, hook into that flow, and create money, generate lots of money for themselves. However, from a spiritual perspective, once you do that, and this is also part of the orientation, as we mentioned earlier, that spiritual people were expected to separate from society. Once you have spiritual parameters to everything that you do, because it becomes the most important factor of your life, and it's present with you all the time, when you live accordingly to that, and then you go to the collective to get your income, to do your marketing and so on, the consensus reality, a flow of energy, does not know how to flow money to you.
Hmm.
It just doesn't know how to do that. The channels are not there. It doesn't have the usual markers or matrix
mm-hmm.
through which to flow money. It just doesn't have it. Spiritual person, just if the spiritual person hasn't, even if the spiritual person sometimes has already been wealthy before turning spiritual, so to speak, even so, sometimes they don't get energy from the collective for their financial projects, you see?
Yeah, isn't it fairly new that the spiritual people would come in and try and work in the normal third dimension? Isn't that normal, isn't that abnormal that we're all moving in and trying
to... Well,
that's
one of the signs, which is a beautiful sign, that you're moving to that new reality, because
mm-hmm.
you have to integrate things. There's a oneness that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And those who've had the experience of oneness, their lives are transformed from one moment to the next
mm-hmm.
when they have that experience, when they recognize that. You see, but you'd say the average Joe Blow hasn't gotten that experience.
Mm-hmm.
That the average person out there is still very uncomfortable, usually with themselves.
Mm-hmm. And usually with their working world.
And with their situations
mm-hmm.
and with the other people and how they're working around with all of that. And so they're working to get in alignment with the flow of the consensus reality so that they can benefit from it. But the spiritual person is not intending to get into that flow with the consensus reality, although it's the consensus reality where the money comes from.
Can you tell Galaxis that there is a difference being made, isn't there? Aren't some of these spiritual people that are embodying different principles actually impacting some of the collective?
Absolutely. The collective has grown tremendously in the past 20, 30 years.
Right.
Phenomenally. If it had not, you know, the spiritual people would still be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, it's gone through this phase where the collective now looks at spiritual people and you know, they
chuckle. Oh, one of those.
Tongue in cheek, you know, oh, they're, you know, spiritual woo woo. There they go, you know, and so on. And so it's kind of like, okay, this is like the child in the family that, you know, is kind of weird, you know. And so they're kind of okay. And now it's starting, just coming into the place where people in the consensus are starting to embrace the idea that there is more. But that's also because the world is just beginning to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's those of you who are in the advanced team, so to speak, that came to do some of the bridge work from the old to the new, mm-hmm. and therefore you have your piece that you want to do. But you see, your energy source, your energy flow does not come from the consensus.
Right.
Like most people stop.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
It comes from another dimension, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So we often suggest that people do a technique in which they personify the four directions. Now, this is similar to a Native American tradition of the medicine wheel,
mm-hmm.
but to call in the four directions and as a personified form. And this is also very true in old Celtic traditions and magical traditions for centuries, to work with the four elements,
mm-hmm.
or the four forces of nature. These forces of nature are definitely on the side of the spiritual person, not against anything. Of course, they are there available for the consensus. The consensus doesn't want them, particularly.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll work with those who call them. The forces of nature are ready to be harnessed. They are even more powerful than the consensus, actually. And this is the source of energy flow. This is where the rules are different, as we say. This
Can you
is
give
the source
people
of energy flow for a spiritual person wanting to make money, is to call in the personified forces of nature and to connect to them individually.
Hmm. Can you give us an example of how to do that?
Well, one of the ways to do that is to visualize them with their seven chakras glowing.
Hmm.
All right? Mm-hmm. And you have seven chakras. Your seven chakras glow. Their seven chakras glow. You face them. You call them. You say, I want to work with you. I desire to work with you. Let's work together and let's love each other. Let's be happy. Let's develop this. Let's create this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a force of nature doesn't really have love in that sense. It doesn't have a personal aspect to it. But when you're in that flow, it will move towards you and let you direct it, because it's harmonious. It'll be harmonious for you. So what you do is you connect your chakras.
Mm.
You connect the seventh, you know, to the seventh and the first to the first and all the ones in between. Sometimes you can start at the first and go right up, one through the seventh, and it takes like, you know, barely a minute to do that for each one.
So that's with the earth, air, wind, and fire. Is it north?
Exactly.
North,
mm-hmm.
south, east, and west?
Mm-hmm. And get in the connection and feel the energy of those elements.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, science, you know, just snickers. You know? Oh, the ancients, they thought it was like there was only four elements. We know there's so many, many more elements. Look at the periodic table. Look at how many elements there really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, we're talking totally different languagey.
Mm-hmm.
But the power of those forces will work for a person. A person can harness them, can call upon them. And if you don't have judgment, it will not bite you. if you're holding a sense of openness, willingness, love, and holding your vision, and you're willing to roll up your sleeves physically and get into the physical plane and enjoy the process,
mm-hmm.
of going for that, enjoy being out there and living your life, those forces of nature will give you as much or more support and flow than the consensus reality gives to those consensus people. You see?
Mm-hmm. You recommend that before we do anything in the day, once a day?
It gets fantastic if you do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't seem to have the discipline to do it, but if you do it every day and connect with those forces in the morning and you say, here, this today, here's what, let's go, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have certain things that you'd like to do in the day. You know, don't be unreasonable and make a long, long list, you know, but to go for it. And if you don't get what it is that you want to get, to feel the feelings of it, be in the present moment, you know, and okay, what is the limitation here? Generally, the limitation is not that the external circumstances are negative. There's nothing to protect yourself from, you see, because it's all your reality you're creating here.
But actually,
negativity to protect yourself from.
Well, whilst you're talking, I'm aware that as spiritual people, for example, do that, it is an abundance in itself, isn't it?
Well, you feel, yes, you feel very free.
Mm-hmm.
There's an incredible lightness and freedom, and you feel expansive. We always tell people, make decisions based on, is it empowering? Mm-hmm. In other words, do you gain power with it, with whatever you're doing? Are you feeling freer? Are you feeling more expanded? And like, does it make you more than you have been, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And is it loving for you? You know, and if you use those four principles in making your choices, you can make choices that have a great deal of integrity to them for yourself. But you see, if you use this every day and you expand your energy field and you make yourself really huge and expansive and light, then you can go into your day and you can anticipate and draw to yourself and expect magic to come, things to come your way. Not just because you're sitting there meditating, but you go out and you do things that feel good to you. And most people who get really into the esoteric spirituality don't feel really good doing things physically.
Hmm.
And it takes them a while to relearn that doing things physically feels really good.
Hmm.
Your body gets very upset with you if you sit all day.
That's for sure.
It wants you to move. Hmm. It wants to feel.
Hmm.
It wants to exalt in the physical plane. One of the reasons people come to the physical plane is because it's so interesting as an experience.
Hmm.
It's so intense.
It's that, isn't it? I was wondering if you'd like to, you know, sometimes when you go into the collective or into the consensus, that's what you were calling it,
yes. We
pick up on other people's feelings. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you about was, healing the relationship with a toxic parent is also, it's really an important part of being able to go in the collective and establish a working base and so on, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Because it seems to me that people will go in and magnetize from other people and sometimes get lambasted or pulled down under into the...
Right, yeah. Right. But it's very easy to give power away to other people's moods, their expectations, and so on, if you yourself are not fully knowledgeable of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's part of your mission, is to learn who you are.
And sometimes that's what drives people to the spiritual path as well, is figuring out who they are. So they're off hiding in the cave.
Yes.
A little scared to come out.
Right. But you see, you make your reality too real. You know, one of the things that people learn a lot of times when they come into the spiritual awakenings, they hear about how the physical plane is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, oh, well, if it's an illusion, then it's not important.
Right.
You know, but au contraire, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is very important. You came for that experience. And what you came to do in your physical lifetime and why you choose to be physical in the first place, because you don't have to be physical, you know, you can be on other levels, you know, and dimensions, forever and ever. You don't have to be physical. But when you chose to be physical, you thought it would be quite an adventure to come and learn how to create right here where there is the least remembrance of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
On the physical plane, when you come into physical plane being, for the most part, and most everybody forgets who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare for a being to come in who remembers who they are. They remember that they are a divine light being. How many people remember that? Now, children will hold it for a while. But generally, in your culture, it's trained out of you.
Yes, it is.
And you're trained to forget. You're trained to ignore that because there's a cognitive dissonance there. There's a conflict between that and what you're expected to believe.
Yeah, isn't it being consumed by the consensus a lot of the time?
Consumed?
Sort of, in that you're your wild, etheric and concentration on the universe gets kind of, I guess, dulled down or...
Well, yes, because sometimes children are in such a state of light, and they're talking with their unseen friends, you know, the nature spirits or you know, fairy beings or whomever, and they're having a wonderful time with that, and then, you know, then they're teased by other children or their parents sharply, you know, yell at them, you know, pay attention and whatever. And so, of course, you know, from a child's point of view, this means you don't go there. That's
mm-hmm.
a bad place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people even get it so entrenched that they grow up thinking it's just bad to have pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
That's how twisted your culture has become and how separated from its spiritual origin it is.
Mm-hmm.
You have whole religions that refuse to acknowledge an individual's spiritual origin and their right to connect with God directly.
Mm-hmm. What's the if you have a universal perspective? I know that. What is happening? We are moving out of some of that, are we not?
Well, yes, and it's due to people like yourself, who are getting people to question what they have taken for granted as the limitations that to live within.
Mm.
You see, you're telling people, "Hey, let's stretch." Let's explore something beyond what is the normal, what is the usual, what is your everyday experience. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so people look at, well, is there something else? Oh, there's something else? Oh, my, there's something else.
Well,
we keep hearing
about it, and I'm perceiving a lot about the dissemblement of many of the consensus structures, the systems that exist right now.
Yes.
Do you see that? Do you have any comments?
Well, yes, but it's not going. We don't sense it's going to be done as dramatically as most people like to predict.
Well, that would be just as well.
Well, yes, but you see, the drama is put in by people who are judging these systems. These people are like, hey, you know, I really want to see the monetary system collapse because I'm really angry at the way the government takes my money, and I'm angry at the big government and big business, and I'm da, 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 da. So I'm really glad that maybe they will get to suffer finally, and you know, and there's this whole agenda that can be there from some people, or some kind of version of it, you know.
Mm.
And so, of course, the drama of it, oh, the financial system's going to collapse. These people are going to go, yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
And they forget, well, wait a minute. If the financial system collapses, so it does your personal financial system collapse. Oh, no, we're going to gather gold and we're going to stash, dried food and so on. And there's been movements, you know, of people who've, you know, had, you know, bomb shelters with dried food so that they can supply their families, you know, needs for who knows how long while the chaos is reigning in the society. It's kind of similar to what people were predicting for Y2K, you know?
Yes, I know.
And Y2K went over, we're like, bloop. And people are like, what? You know, there's some people who sold their places, moved to the countryside, built big walls with barbed wire, and were ready for the, you know, chaos. And it never happened, you know? And that's the same thing with a lot of people. They see it all in terms of drama, survival drama.
But the systems are kind of dismantling in ways.
They
are,
but they're dismantling. They're kind of, yes, they are. It's kind of pulverizing. It's kind of, they're breaking down. It's like a big, big rock, and you crack it, and you crack it, and you crack it, and you crack it. And eventually, the little pieces start falling off and so on and so on until the whole integrative structure of it is gone. But by that time, you see, it's going to shift. There are people, unfortunately, on this planet, there's a good number of them that are very creative, very inspirational,
mm-hmm.
very flexible, and can have imaginations of what to do. And so the financial systems, the business systems, structures of governments, structures of personal relationships, and all these limiting structures that everyone had to be born into and live in the limitation of all the boxes, you might say, that contain you. All the boxes are being broken down. Sometimes they're expanded, and
mm-hmm.
then and then they're expanded some more. And these creative people like yourself on some of the, you know, what we call your first waivers, those of you who are really into expanding your consciousness and developing and creating your own realities, you're expanding the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not breaking the boxes down. You're expanding them to give them more possibility.
We're not just recycling them.
No, you're not. You're not destroying them and getting a different box.
Yeah.
You're basically expanding and including more possibility, and then expanding and including more possibility, and this continues on and on and until finally there is a place where people in the consensus who've been living in much smaller boxes can step into your bigger box.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to happen worldwide.
That's very exciting. So we're talking also about energy, ways of running things with energy, like.
Well, yes. Well, you live your life running energy.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be aware that you're running energy every moment, but you are.
But we're going to step out of like the fossil fuels and so on, are we not? And
oh, and that kind of energy.
Yes.
Well, yes. Yes. Fossil fuels do have a certain limitation to them.
Yes.
But the thing is that there are alternate technologies, and even though people are very frustrated, we understand that the government is not putting as much support into the development of these alternative technologies as people would like them to. You know, things are in the process of making a big shift now, because you're going to have a new administration in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And this administration, none of the prime candidates for president at this time are oil men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a change, hey?
What's that?
That's a change.
Isn't it? So think about what possibilities of dreaming and what possibilities of looking for alternatives will be available.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be vastly more.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see quite an acceleration now. And it doesn't matter, you know, which party gets in. There's a shifting that's going on right now, which you probably notice, and just in the as the elections are running, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Before even the conventions and before everybody's official and so on and so on, it's, you can feel the energies of the shift, of the change that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really quite exciting, because it's opening up different possibilities.
And so our goal is to keep visualizing and keep creating a more expanded point of view.
That's right. You see, your personal expanded point of view has impacted your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your reality happens to include lots and lots of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing. Now, about relationships, I heard that you, in one of your workshops, were talking about relationships that were going to move out of one-on-one relationships and do group, is this right, group relationships?
Yes, we're famous now already for that.
This is out of context, I'm sure.
Well, actually, what it is that as a person gets into an expanded consciousness, and they're able to, and you mentioned the toxic parent earlier,
mm-hmm.
To move beyond the toxic parent and to heal that relationship with the toxic parent and become really fully an adult,
mm-hmm.
what happens is that the orientation towards love and mating with a person of the opposite sex or same sex, you know, the pair, the bonded pair concept, is undergoing a tremendous amount of expansion as well.
Mm-hmm.
And because right now, the way the consensus traditionally has had it is that if you have a mate and it's a romantic relationship, then you have all these issues with fidelity and trust and whether can you share or not, and all this, there's almost an energy of dependency. It is a built-in codependent system, and for those few couples that are able to get beyond codependency, they're quite amazing.
Hmm.
It takes tremendous work. You're aware of how much work you have had to go through, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But, you know, it's worth it because you have a relationship that's so expanded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep expanding that further until you get to the point where you are so free and so expansive, and you can bring in love from all kinds of people. And we're not talking about sexual love per se. the whole sexual fidelity thing has gotten people really screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
It started initially, of course, as a way to mark who was the inheritor of the family monies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to keep track of the bloodlines of everybody. And so sex is outside marriage is a threat to the bloodlines.
Mm.
So there was it was originally a tribal issue or a clan issue. But what's happening as we are becoming global is that sexual fidelity issue is no longer as important, because people as an individual in these relationships, once you're expanded, you're no longer the insecure person that society assumes you to be.
Hmm.
All the traditional relationships are based on two insecure people getting together.
And receiving identity that way.
It's an identity, because it's always thought of that romance is for the young people, and you see these teenagers or, you know, late teens, early 20s, and they're, you know, hardly experienced, and they're just, you know, and they don't have, and you're not taught in school how to have a really good self-esteem and how to feel really good and love yourself. No, nobody teaches you that in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here you go into a relationship looking for someone else to love you, to validate you, you see? Now, this whole issue will be gone when you expand.
Mm-hmm.
So a relationship can be dependent on your own personal temperament. There are certain people whose temperament is to have relationships with several people simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, when you're in with one, you're with that one, and then you go and you're with another one, and so on and so on. And as long as people are not insecure and clingy and they need validation, there are people who, you can find other people, if you were one of these people, who share your particular temperament that you can have very easy, free, comfortable, happy relationships with and come and go and come and go. And so there's going to be people like this who are going to have like multiple unions.
Hmm.
And it's not going to be there's not anybody who's going to be a loser or lose out or feel rejected and lonely. It's not even going to have those issues.
So the fabric of society is going to have a different base then.
Yes, it's going to have a base that if you're in a relationship, then you know it's your creation. You are completely empowered and responsible, and you don't need this other person to validate you. But you can share your love, and you can have a wonderful time. And people who want exclusivity, you know, it's not going to be completely gone. There's people who really like to get into the really intimate one-on-one and go deep, 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 deep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful thing. We're not saying that's not going to happen. It is.
But some people don't care about that.
Right. Some people, that's just right for them. Other people, it's not. People will have relationships that are just right for them.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't be any of this kind of, you know, clinging or dependencies or worrying about what they think and what are they with somebody else. And, you know, it's just not going to have that quality. So you're going to see a lot of very new forms of relationships coming onto the planet.
Hmm. Well, we're already seeing quite a few now, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. But the ones that you're seeing now, the new ones that you're seeing now, there's still so much work, it's almost as if the new forms of relationships that people are stretching and adventuring into are under so much more stress and so much more pressure. It's harder to do them still. But there will come a time in the future it will be no more different than anything else.
Hmm. Now, we only have a few minutes left, but I thought I'd like you to say something about energy healing, because even talking relationships is about energy sharing, isn't it?
Yes, you exchange your energies, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, energy healing is probably going to be the catalyst for the spiritual New Age template on the planet.
The big awakening.
It is the big awakening. And you can see it that it's going to come about one of two ways. One way is that the box is going to keep expanding and expanding until more and more people are aware of the significance of energy and how to work with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could come about through repression by government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by governmental repression, we mean, for example, in the health field, government is definitely supportive of the pharmaceutical companies,
mm-hmm.
the FDA, and the traditional medical industry, you see. Now, what this tends to do for a lot of people for whom the traditional medical approach doesn't work and for whom pharmaceuticals are just absolutely devastating to them and they can't do it, if it becomes illegal to do anything alternative, what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Energy healing.
Right.
You see, how can that be legislated? Nobody can, you know, scientifically demarcate its impact. No, the scientists don't even care to go there.
Right. It's like legislating radio waves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's just like, you know, what can they do? It's out of their control.
Well, that's great news.
Isn't it fantastic? So when you go into looking at healing and opening up new levels of health through working with and directing consciously the flow of energy, you're basically right in that moment mm-hmm. establishing the new age.
Wonderful.
Because that is your intention. You are moving the energy through your intention. And in order to really do a healing requires a sense of freedom of yourself, love and value.
Mm-hmm.
All the foundations of a reality that you're creating one by one, and also if you only knew the network of all of you together. As you move energy together, as this becomes greater and greater, that you create this relationship with each other consciously, you're going to be able to connect across dimensions of time and space and recognize that there's no limitation there. And what you create is a reality that is based in love, not fear. It's based in personal empowerment rather than powerlessness or the control of one over the other and so on. The domination matrix is going to dissolve itself.
Mm.
So one of the most radical things that you can do is to get into energy healing.
Wonderful. And like the four dimensions, it's really calling in from the universe, which is all of our birthright, is to bring
That's
in.
It. That's mm-hmm. it. Because as soon as you do that, your third dimension no longer holds a limitation.
Mm.
Not that you don't enjoy third dimension, but what you can do is go to fourth dimension and bring in your visions and your dreams to manifest into third dimension. And that's when it really gets fun.
Excellent. Well, it's so wonderful to speak with you. I feel honored that you would come on the show, Paradigm Shifters, because you definitely are that.
Well, thank you. We're so honored to have been invited.
And are you enjoying your new time in L.A.?
Well, we don't have any geographical location.
But you must have an interesting...
Wherever the channel is.
You must have an interesting point of view through Ginger's move.
Yes. We do. We can see how the energies are different. She moved from Atlantis to Lemuria.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it, and thanks to Ginger and Daniel for...
You're very welcome, Aunt. And we hope that we can connect with you and your wonderful friends again sometime.
Please do. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Farewell.
Farewell. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and that was a wonderful Galexis. I enjoyed it so much, and I hope you did too. Next week we have Dr. Meg, and she's written a wonderful book about conversations with children, and they're all children of the new times with their points of view, and it's been very, very amazing to read that book and how these children come in with insights throughout the universe. I think you're going to enjoy Dr. Meg next week, and I'll be at Jackie's ET Healing at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. And tune into Radiance by Design on Tuesday at 4 o'clock West Coast time. Again, Paradigm Shifter Dr. Meg at 5 o'clock West Coast time. And if you'd like to email me, tell me what you'd like to hear, what you thought of the show or anything. If you'd like to have a session, it's veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. And, you know, I forgot to do Galexis's website, which is galexisspirit.com. That's G-A-L-E-X-I-S-S-P-I-R-I-T galexisspirit.com. Again, galexisspirit.com. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that several times through the show. So email me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com, or tune in to galexisspirit.com, and we will talk to you on Thursday night or next Tuesday. Many blessings and much love to you all.